Now, you may have already seen some Halloween candy stocked up and stacked up at the local grocery store with a lot of the standard options. What if there was something else out there beyond the ordinary American chocolates and gummies and Starbursts? Well, our next guest says there is. It's candy from other countries. Not only can it be really different than the American sweets we're used to, she says it can be way better. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a favorite candy from another country? Maybe you found it there while you were traveling or somebody brought some home to you. Or if you're here from another country, what is a candy that you love back home that you maybe miss and have to try to find and get while you're here? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Amanda Mull is a staff writer at The Atlantic covering health and also writes a column on American consumerism. It's called Material World. She recently wrote about international candy for The Atlantic. Amanda, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you so much for having me again.
What got you started down this road of international candies?
Well, next to where I go to the gym every week, there is a sort of a crunchy, hippie health food store type place that sometimes I go in and buy a coconut water. And I was at the checkout one day and sort of perusing, you know, even crunchy, hippie health food stores have candy at the checkout. And I was sort of looking at what was available and what might be interesting. And I chose a bag of strawberry licorice because I hadn't had any in a while. And I've always been a fan of like Twizzlers at the movie theater, something like that. So I took it home that night. I sort of opened it and idly, you know, threw a couple pieces in my mouth. And I realized that, wow, it was just fantastic. It was so, so good. I didn't really expect it to be that functionally different from any other strawberry licorice I'd ever had. So I flipped it over to like look at what I had acquired accidentally. And I realized it was from Finland. That it had like a very short ingredient list and the brand had been around for like 100 years. So I got very, very curious about, you know, Scandinavian licorice in general and started looking into it. And they have, you know, regionally, they have a sort of fantastic tradition of it. And it just sort of got me thinking about like, over the years, especially in the past, like 5 or 10, I have, you know, had so many types of candy that are really fantastic, whether it's Japanese Kit Kats or Haichu or all of these other things that are just sort of like really interesting and really such a treat to happen upon and to try. And it seems that they're more available than ever. So I wanted to sort of test that hypothesis, and it turns out they are.
Yeah, you dug into this. Now, you know, maybe there was a Japanese candy that was popular with Japanese immigrants and they could go to a local grocery store that imported straight from Japan. That's been around for a long time. You found, it sounds like, a lot of these candies are just finding their way out of just that one community and finding more and more widespread appeal. What's going on?
Right. For a long time, if you wanted a candy that you had, you know, had as a kid growing up in a different country or that you had purchased on vacation and enjoyed or something like that, you had to go to a specialty store. If it was British, maybe your grocery store would have it in the import foods aisle. Cadbury and things like that are sometimes available in those spots, but you were sort of out of luck otherwise. And what happened, I think that the Japanese brand Haichu was sort of a leader in this, in sort of like scoping out the market for U.S. Market share potentially. And they sort of realized that beyond their sort of existing market in cities with large Asian populations, a lot of other people could potentially like the candy that they sell. And they realized that because Salt Lake City was one of their strongest markets. And Salt Lake City does not have a very large Asian population, but what it has is a large population of people who have lived overseas for a couple of years because of LDS missions in the Mormon church. So they realized that it was largely white people who were buying their candy after encountering it in Asia and really loving it. So that was sort of proof of concept for them that they could market their products more widely and find people who would be interested in it. The thing with them is that Haichu, as you might expect, is extremely chewy. And texturally, there was sort of a question about whether people who didn't grow up with that texture would adopted as adults. And it turns out, yes. So what they did sort of fascinatingly is start distributing cases of Hi-Chew for free to Japanese baseball players. And because they didn't really have any way into the market other than that. Candy shelves are very much already spoken for by the sort of American giants like Hershey and Mars and Nestle, which is an international company but sells a lot in the United States. So they didn't really have a way to get people to stock their candy outside of these Asian markets that they already sold in. So they sent it to Japanese baseball players who then, handed it out to their teammates. In baseball, you spend a lot of time looking very closely at players who are eating things and chewing on things. Eventually, baseball beat writers found out that there was this candy that suddenly all of the entire roster was addicted to, and you could see it on TV. So they got some press that way, and things sort of exploded from there. And a lot of international candy uptake is sort of in that model, not necessarily as sort of shrewd as Hi-Chew's manufacturers approached it, but a lot of it is word of mouth. People going on vacation, bringing it home. Candy makes a really easy thing to bring back to friends and family when you travel abroad, and sort of just passing it out or going overseas themselves and trying it. And then with the sort of robustness of internet shopping as we have it now, it's a lot easier to find things that you might otherwise not be able to find. So you get an opportunity to try things, and you get an opportunity for these brands to demonstrate to potential retailers that they have a real audience.
We're talking to Amanda Mall, staff writer at The Atlantic, where she recently wrote about international candy, why it can open up our sweet treat horizons, and we're seeing it more and more around the United States. You could join in if you'd like at 800-642-1234. Have you encountered candy from another land? Did you like it and want to bring it back home? Or was it strange and off-putting to you? Are you from somewhere outside of the United States? Do you have a favorite candy from your home country that you love? You love to eat whenever you can get your hands on it. Share it with your friends. Tell us all about it at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up that candy conversation coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation about international candy. Amanda Mull is with us, staff writer for The Atlantic. She says in some cases it can be better than American sweets. You could join in at 800-642-1234. If you have an experience of your own to share, that's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. Let's bring on a caller now. Heather is with us in Madison. Heather, hi.
Hi there. I am calling because I actually have a subscription to some treats that are international, and we got a box a while ago that had these. They are rhubarb custard bonbons, so they're a little round, actually not very round, bone marble size, and they have a mixture of rhubarb and this custard flavor, and they're chewy, kind of like a Hi-Chew or a Starburst or something like that, and I find them very delightful just because rhubarb is not something that we normally have in candy here.
And Heather, you cut out for just a sec. Where are these rhubarb bonbons from?
England.
England. Okay. Thank you for sharing that. And Amanda, Heather says, you don't usually see this particular flavor, rhubarb, in candies. That's something you found a lot. There are flavors and textures that are just off the radar in the American candy counter.
Yes, absolutely. I think this is one of the key reasons that international candy has found so many sort of eager adherents in the United States. When you look at industrially produced candy in the U.S., you get these very large companies making things that are distributed everywhere, in every region, in every market. So you get candy that tends to be made to sort of appeal to as many people as possible. And that makes it great candy. I wouldn't argue that the candy in the United States isn't good, but it does make it sort of bland and sort of, it tends to be a little bit sweet, maybe sweeter than some varieties overseas. And it doesn't have as many interesting flavors mixed in. Whereas overseas, you're looking at mostly countries that are not as quite as diverse as the United States. And whether that means ethnically diverse or just diverse as far as food culture, region to region, what you get is companies that are able to sort of tailor their products to a more specific audience that has more specific tastes than perhaps trying to sell candy to the entire population of the United States. So you get more interesting fruits, you get more interesting flavor combinations, you get savory and sweet mixed together, you get candy that's spicy, you get candy that includes fruit flavors that just don't exist in the United States because we don't have those fruits here. So you get this sort of range of flavors that is not as available in like the average American grocery store or the average American drugstore where you might pick up, you know, candy at the checkout counter. And that can be really fun. You know, international food has grown a lot in the United States as far as like interest. And it's just interesting to taste things from other places and, you know, taste what people think of when they think of candy.
Thanks a lot for that call and sharing the rhubarb bonbons. Now, you mentioned earlier, Amanda, baseball players being influencers. There are also a lot of social media people evidently getting into these candies. I want to give a listen to one of them. This is Michelle Brown, also known as Miss Bedhead, followed by about 500,000 people on TikTok.
Honestly, Japanese candy is so, like, creative. I love it. Okay, last thing I'm going to try in this part is this Kit Kat. I'm assuming that it's like a whole grain one. All right, let's see what this looks like. Oh, it's kind of melted. Okay, this is supposed to look like a regular Kit Kat, but it melted, but it's probably still going to taste the same, so cheers.
All right, internet influencers on board here, but I want to get into those Kit Kats. Now, a Kit Kat we might see on a counter in another country, maybe flavors we've never seen before in the United States.
Right. A lot of foreign candy is not necessarily candy made by companies that don't exist in the United States, but because so much of the US market is served by these like very large multinational corporations, you get companies that are familiar to Americans, but that are making just completely different things overseas for different international audiences. So a great example is the Kit Kats from that clip. And these are a type of candy that got a lot of interest very early in the US. Before we have seen this like very, very recent boom with TikTok and Instagram and YouTube. And they come in these sort of like wonderful flavors, matcha, strawberry cheesecake, orange chocolate, things that just do not, you know, end up in the aisle of Walmart and Target in the US. But if you can find a Japanese grocery store or if you order them on the internet, you have access to this enormous array of flavors in this sort of very familiar form factor. And it's like falling through a hole into a dimension of candy that you didn't realize existed, which is just fun. And it's pretty inexpensive to have that kind of fun.
Before we wrap up, Amanda, you mentioned the Finnish licorice. Do you have another favorite that you've encountered in your extensive research?
I really like the pistachio flavored Japanese Kit Kats. I really, really enjoy high chews of pretty much any flavor. And those are pretty widely available now. You can get them at Walgreens and CVS. Yeah, I think that those are my three big favorites.
Amanda, thanks a lot for sharing this with us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
That's Amanda Mull. Amanda covers health for The Atlantic and writes the column Material World on consumerism in the United States. She talked to us about her piece on international candy, why she says it's worth trying out. Coming up, Russia is mobilizing additional troops and staging illegitimate referendum votes in parts of Ukraine. We'll talk to an expert on Russian politics about the latest developments in the war. First, it's the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Member Drive. Larry Mueller is with us. Your gift right now is so important. It's because gifts from people like you are the largest source of funding for WPR programs. It's all possible thanks to your support. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Rob, we have about 35 minutes left in the hour, and we're looking for 9 more people to join in and contribute. Thank you so much if you've already given. If you haven't, what should they do?
They should give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. When you give, your gift will fund the programs you enjoy.
Speaking of enjoying, I really enjoyed this past segment from Amanda as she talked about candy and why other countries can give you a bigger range of tastes in their candy. And then we get a nice call about, oh, man, rhubarb.
That sounded pretty good.
Oh, rhubarb custard bonbons? Are you kidding me? I'd get those.
I would try
it,
yeah. Now, I've tried Dutch licorice. I have a friend from the Netherlands, and it's like this salted licorice. I got to say, it's probably an acquired taste. I'm not knocking it, but I think you'd have to get used to it for a while. Have you tried something, Larry?
I've tried things all over the world. I especially like the Caribbean. A lot of the chocolate is really good down there. So
all right. Well,
but these, you know, here we are gabbing about it, and these are the kind of conversations I think you can count on from Central Time.
And WPR is listener supported. That means your donation makes these fun conversations and the serious stuff available. Give now at WPR.org, 888-202-2552. Choose an amount that works for you and then make your gift.
You know, I pay a lot of my bills online, and maybe you pay your bills online as well. Support WPR in that same streamlined way by becoming a sustainer.
But unlike bills, you choose the amount you're going to pay.
Yes.
Pick an amount that works for you, 10 or 20 bucks a month, say, then set up an ongoing monthly gift from your bank account or credit card. Easy to start up at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You get a lot of election news coverage here on Wisconsin Public Radio. It's great from January to June, where there, you know, there's caucuses and primaries every week, and now we're, you know, here we are. We're looking to probably add that to that coverage, right?
That's right. Well, I think we'll keep talking about the elections for the next couple of months. You've counted on WPR since the election season started. We'll be here for you with results and analysis and in-depth coverage on elected officials and their policies. Your financial support makes it all happen. Cast your vote for thorough election coverage with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
It's easy to spend a dollar or more a day on things that are part of your routine, like a cup of coffee or maybe your favorite snack.
Consider the news, info, and inspiration from Wisconsin and around the world that you get every day from listening to WPR. Maybe a buck a day or $30 a month is the right donation for you. Sign up right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Support the programs you enjoy every day.
30 minutes left in the hour, looking for 9 more pledges. You can help us now. Do it right now. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution.
Give $20 a month or more. Ask for the combo WPR tote bag and WPR socks. Give right now. It really does make a difference. Online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. And thanks so much for your support.